This is the Daily Refill, a project of Alatea.org. These are the stories you need to start your day.
I'm Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, the editor-in-chief of Alatea.org, and today I want to tell you about the great Irish saint, the saintly bishop, St. Colman of Kilmacdo. St. Colman lived from about the year 560 to 632, so he's one of these ancient Irish monastic saints, a great early saint in Ireland's Christian history. Colman was born in Cork in Ireland, where he was the son of a local chieftain. And it's said that his father resisted the idea of having him baptized. So his mother actually went, get this, his mother actually went in secret to the parish priest to have him baptized. But the place that they selected for this meeting did not have any water. And it's said that when she started digging, a miraculous spring flowed forth, allowing St. Colman to be baptized. Unbelievable, huh? So St. Colman then went on to be educated at the monastery in Inchmore on the Aran Islands. And there he became a hermit. He sought greater and greater solitude. The site where he lived as a hermit is marked by an ancient stone oratory, a holy well, and a cave known as St. Colman's Cave. In the year about 610, Colman established a monastery and was later consecrated bishop, serving what would eventually become the Diocese of Kilmacdo. Many legends grew up about St. Colman, including a promise that no person or animal living in Kilmacdo would ever die of being struck by lightning, and his crozier, which is today on display in the National Museum in Ireland, his crozier was used for centuries for swearing oaths. As we think about St. Colman, we might take to heart these words from the prophet Ezekiel. For thus says the Lord, look, I myself will search for my sheep and examine them. St. Colman is one of many holy shepherds, one of many saintly bishops that was sent to Ireland to spread the Catholic faith, to serve as apostles, as preachers, as true shepherds. Today, let us pray through the intercession of St. Colman. Almighty, ever-living God, who chose Blessed Colman to preside as bishop over your holy people, we pray that by his merits you may bestow on us the grace of your loving kindness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Coming up, we have news and an inspirational story. But if you'd like to read more about today's feast, reflect on the daily Mass readings, and learn new ways to pray, visit alatea.org, where you can also sign up for our newsletter. That's alatea.org.
Observers report rising tensions in Haiti, where not even religious groups now are safe from kidnapping. Although it's not public knowledge whether a ransom was ever paid to a Haitian gang for the release of a group of people, including, surprisingly, in a country as devout as Haiti, including six priests, one of those clergymen believed that their ordeal, that is, the kidnapping that happened in April, emboldened kidnappers to demand even more money for the release of a group of North American missionaries. When Father Michel Brion, a French national who worked in Haiti for many years, when he and his colleagues were held in April, their kidnappers demanded $1 million for the release of all 10. Now the same group is asking for $1 million, demanding $1 million for each of 17 captives who are affiliated with the Ohio-based Mennonite group Christian Aid Ministries. It also helps that the current captives are blanc, said Father Brion, using the French word for whites. Such targets command higher sums. The New York Times has reported that Christian Aid Missionaries is presently gathering money to try and pay the $17 million ransom. Gédéon Jean, the executive director of the Center for Analysis and Research in Human Rights, an advocacy group in Port-au-Prince, said that at least 40 church members, both Haitian and foreign, have been kidnapped since the beginning of the year. The fact that Christian workers, missionaries, that is, members of the church, are now targets in Haiti signals a significant cultural change, as for many years the church was one of Haiti's most stable institutions.
Stick around because we have an inspirational story to share. You can discover today's top Catholic news stories and rich, insightful commentary composed by leading Catholic journalists at alatea.org. Or download the Alatea app to your smartphone or tablet. available on Apple and Android devices.
It's a known fact that when a woman changes her haircut or color, something may be about to change in her life, and if you don't notice, there's a good chance that it will be you. If fuchsia or candy pink hair speak of a desire for novelty or even rebellion, our hair is capable of telling a silent story about us, especially when it's not there. That's the story of Aurora, the scarf woman. She's a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer survivor. At the age of 41, she was scheduled to undergo a hysterectomy after refusing to give up in the face of an initial diagnosis of inoperability. She underwent 8 rounds of chemotherapy, 1 2-day session every 14 days. She experienced total hair loss. She said, "I was devastated, but I was always supported by my husband and by the confidence I saw in the doctors. That gave me strength. This path led me to discover parts of myself that even I didn't know I had. I emanated tranquility even though I wasn't tranquil. I seemed strong and brave, even though in reality I was enormously afraid." No one gives too much weight to losing hair in such a situation. What's urgent and important is to beat the monster, cancer. Yet, I think that in a situation that's already that difficult, looking in the mirror and having to abandon that part of yourself, your hair, that part that made you feel yourself, is a burden that adds to the weight of a boulder. You fight, of course, but it's harder to do it when the disease takes away everything, even what's so unnecessary, a superficial aspect, but one that's important for you to be able to say, "I'm here and still me, despite everything." So Aurora didn't give in to that. She refused to let her tumor take away her femininity. She opted not to wear a wig. "I didn't have it to hide in the face of the disease," she said. But she wore new colorful scarves tied around her head in different ways to create hairstyles. It's not about covering up her head or any of the signs of cancer, she says, but it's about discovering a new person in the face of the illness, discovering a strength that she didn't think she had. It's funny how a single syllable or a piece of cloth can move us from the perspective of fear to the perspective of hope.
Visit Alatea for inspiring Catholic news, spirituality, and lifestyle content. Keep up to date with the latest stories by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To receive Alatea straight to your inbox each day, sign up for our daily newsletter by visiting Alatea, Alatea.org.
This show is a production of the Spoke Street Media Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, visit SpokeStreet.com.